If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right. I know you make a way for me. Oh, if I live a holy life, hallelujah, shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Oh, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know you make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way. I know you make a way for us. I know the Lord you make a way for me. I know the Lord you make a way for me.
Father, what a privilege that we can come into your courts once again upon this evening. Lord, our hearts and our souls, they rejoice. Once again, Father, to come to approach unto Thee. Father, when we get in Your presence, Lord, Father, that's when we find real life. Father, that's Amen. When we find our rest, that's when we find our strength, that's when we find our identity and our being, Lord, it's in You. Father, when we're out there, Father, in the atmosphere of this world, oh, Father, this world is not our home. We're just passing through, and Father, it's so real unto us. So thank You that You've allowed us, Lord, grace, once again, to gather in Your precious name. Father, to come unto this place, just wanted to sanctify this place to You. Father, how we desire that Your precious blood, Father, that was shed, Lord, at such a great cost, Lord, for the atonement of our sins, Lord. Father, would speak on behalf of any sin or trespass or transgression, Lord, or anything, that Father would come between us and Thee. That Father, You'd wash us in Your blood now. And even as, Lord, Brother George would lead us in worship, Lord, continue to bless him and lead him and guide him, Lord. And just open up to us, Lord, that dimension and that place, Lord, that You may, Father, come before Thee, Lord, that, Father, our offering may be sweet before Thee upon this evening, Lord, that, Father, You may condescend down once again, Hallelujah. Lord, to overshadow in Your glory, Lord. And Father, Lord, to speak and to heal and to revive and to work and to feed. And Father, to do Your work, we'll pray. Father, to pray for each person that's gathered, Lord. Father, just praying, Lord, that You would help us, Lord. To forget about ourselves, Lord. To lay aside everything else, Lord. And Father, just to meditate upon You and Your goodness. And Father, to go into that realm, Lord. Father, those heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Lord. Father, to the saints at Antioch Summit College. And Father, Brother Virgus, we pray for him away for work. Different saints, Lord, that have traveled, we pray that You'll bless them and be with them and keep them, Lord. Them that are working upon this night, Lord, won't You watch over them, Lord? Them with exams and assignments, Lord. Father, that time of the year, be with them, Father. Lord, fight their battles, we pray. But Father, we're committing ourselves to Thee now, wanting to be shut in with Hallelujah. God upon this night, Lord. Father, I just wanted to humble ourselves, Lord. Be glorified, we pray, as we commit the service to You now. In Jesus' name.
Jesus is ever shining, He's ever shining, ever shine. Oh, ever shine, He's ever shining, ever. Oh, He's ever shining, ever, ever shining, ever shine. Ever shining, ever, ever shining, ever. Oh, Jesus is ever. Oh, hallelujah, ever. He's my Lord and He's ever shining, ever shine. Oh, He's ever shining, ever. Oh, let me be like Him, ever shining, ever, ever shining, ever, ever shining, ever. Oh, hallelujah, ever. Oh, Jesus, I'm going to pay. Anopenya, Anopenya, Yesu Anopenya, Anopenya, Alleluia, Anopenya, Dimi Muno Penya, Anopenya, Alleluia,
Anopenya.
Time for my Jesus, ano pe, ano penya, ano, oh ano penya, ano pe, oh hallelujah, ano, oh Lord, come down and make us ano, ano penya, ano pe, ano penya. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Hallelujah, oh, oh, hallelujah, Hosanna. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, Hosanna. Praising Him, praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's praise Him, let's praise Him. Praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's praise Him, praise Him, praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we praise You, Lord, praising the Lord. Oh, Hosanna, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, oh, Hosanna, hallelujah, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, oh, hallelujah, Hosanna, Hosanna, oh, Hosanna, hallelujah. Oh, we got the power in the name of. We got that heavenly power. We got the power in the name of. In the name of Jesus. Though Satan, though he rages and rages, we will never ever be defeated. We got the, as long as we got the power in the name of the Lord. Give me your, oh, give me your hand. Let's agree to, oh, whatever, oh, for whatever. Oh, crumble it up, crumble at our feet. For whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in, shall be bound in heaven at the name of Jesus. Satan is to blame. We got the power in the name of. We got that heavenly power. We got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan, though he rages and he rages, we can never be defeated. We got the power in the name of the Lord. For many years now, Satan tried, he tried to stop us. But the church of Jesus is still alive. Like a mighty army, we'll we'll keep marching, we'll keep marching, marching, winning every battle with the Lord on our side. We got the power in the name of, we got the heavenly power, we got the power in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Though Satan, though he rages and he rages, oh, we got the power in the name of the Lord. We got the power, we got the power in the name of, we got the power, we got the power in the name of the, in the name of the Lord. Though Satan, though he rages and he rages, oh hallelujah, we got the power in the name of the Lord. We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and why we are happy and free. Crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this feels like, oh hallelujah, this feels like heaven to me. Oh praise God, this feels like heaven. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this feels like heaven to me. So when we are happy, we sing and we shout. Don't understand that, oh, they don't understand. We filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt. And, oh, can't you feel it? This feels like heaven to me. This feels like heaven. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this feels like heaven to me. Oh, we've heard of sweet music, that heavenly chord from glory land over the sea. A so thrilling message. Oh, and this feels like heaven. Oh, hallelujah, this feels like heaven to me. Hallelujah, this feels like heaven. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this feels like heaven to me. Hallelujah. On Calvary's hill of sorrows, where sin's demands were paid, and rays of hope for tomorrow. Hallelujah! Oh, a cross, our parts were laid. Oh, I see, I see, I see a crimson, I see a stream of blood. It blows from Calvary. These waves which reach the throne of, which reach the throne of my God, are sweeping over me. Today, no condemnation abides to turn my way. So, from here, to stay. See a crimson stream of, I see a stream of blood. It flows buried. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. Gloom and sadness whispers, you've seen, no use to pray. Hallelujah, I look away to my Jesus, and he tells me to say, oh, hallelujah, I see a crimson stream of, I see a stream of blood, it flows. It waves which reach the throne of God, as we been over me. Blood, it flows, buried. Its ways which reach the throne of God, are sweeping over me.
When I think of that song, the words, it's really precious. So much think of what the brother was saying on the weekend. I don't know who was saying it about the blood. I think Brother Tom.
Yes.
When he went in, the prophet, to that restaurant, and there was that woman in sin and the policeman on the gambling machine and all that. And the prophet in his heart said, Lord, why don't you just wipe the whole thing? And then the Lord showed him his sin. Going up, and it would have struck the throne of God, and judgment would have been the result. And there was a buffer of the blood. As the sin would go up, it would strike into the blood. As it struck the blood, it hit the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus looked down at the prophet, and the prophet said, Lord. And when the Lord said to the prophet, you want to condemn her, but what about your sin? And then the prophet says, Lord, forgive me. And Jesus took and put his finger in his side and took the blood and wrote it on the record, pardoned, and threw it behind him. Friends, it's a precious thing. This crimson stream of blood, that's what keeps us alive on a daily basis. And I really do appreciate song. Let's sing one more, Brother George. We're really thankful to be here this evening, saints, to those that have come this evening. Let's sing one more before we come to the word.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, he's calling for you and for me. See on the portals is waiting and watching for you and for me. Oh, come home. Come home, he who are weary. sinner come home? Why would we tarry when Jesus is bleeding for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercies for you and for come home, come home, come home. He who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling. Sinner, come home. Time now is fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering and tidbits are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you. Hallelujah, come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Really do thank Brother Crosby accepting this invitation to take the service this evening. Do you realize it's a Wednesday? We asked Brother Crosby to, if he would, by the grace of God, if the Lord would leave him that way to go down the line of the youth. And friends, we're all youth.
Amen.
You know, there's none of us here that aren't youth. Who here feels old inside of their heart? Nobody would. We're all youth. We're all learning. So we're really longing and desiring the Lord to minister to us upon this evening. And may the Lord bless his word. We do greet Brother Godfrey's brother. Right, I didn't catch your name, sorry, bro.
Gerald.
Really happy to have him in our midst. He's been once before, but we greet him in Jesus' name. Amen, brother. Feel welcome in the house of the Lord. Brother Crosby, please take your liberty, brother, in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. The Chewala is Gerald. Is that the right way of calling it? Yes, Gerald. It's here when you come and you change it to Gerald.
Yes, that's true.
They don't say giraffe. They say giraffe. Praise the Lord. They take away the L's and put the R's and take away the R's and put the L's. Amen. I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been my heart's desire to see him, and what a better place to meet in the house of the Lord. How many would like to appreciate our brother?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Andrew, thank you for the invitation. It's always an honor to be here with the saints. Amen. Just before the Lord showed me my calling, I had made up my mind that I'm going to leave and go to Dublin with my family. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Now that I'm tied up to something that only God has to show me to move.
Hallelujah.
Otherwise, my desire was to be with you. But you can have the best of both worlds. I come and preach for a little while. You also release Brother Andrew to come and preach for a little while. You know, then the body of Christ is serviced both ways. Amen. I normally desire Brother Andrew when we have a lot of new folks we've baptized, because he is very good at teaching those deep things of the message with such simplicity. We have testimonies in our church of people that got saved that way. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you. I'll ask you to turn with me to your Bibles, to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11. Praise the Lord. Is this on?
Yes,
ma'am. Okay. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass, in an evening tide, that David rose up from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanliness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah the Hittite to David. And when Uriah was come unto David, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said unto Uriah, "Go down thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord, and went not down to his house. Let's go. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is a story we all know.
Yes,
and it's a very popular story in the sense that this is the story where we find David, amen, getting himself into an act that he was not supposed to do. Amen. Verse number 11, I just want to continue reading it. And Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped upon the fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife as thou livest, and as thou so livest? I will not do this thing." Verse number 12. And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morning. And when David had called unto him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab, and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten." And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city that he had assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew and valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David. And Uriah the Hittite died also. And when Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approach ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Amen. Verse number 21. Who smote Abimelech the son of Jerubbesheth? Did not a woman cast a piece of a millstone upon him from the wall, and he died in Tebez? Why went ye nigh to the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Amen. It's more like a parable that is given as an instruction for a servant to go and tell David. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, it's never an easy thing to stand before the purchase of your blood. Tonight I pray that you might hide me behind the blood. Heavenly Father, this thought that you've put upon my heart as per request from the pastor to deal with the youth, yet we too can benefit from this word. Your word, Lord, dear God, has no age. It's timeless, it's powerful. Even when you were here on earth at the age of 12, you confounded high priests and priests because you became the word. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight we might be able to glean from these, your scriptures, life eternal. Help us as we move from scripture to scripture, page to page. May you also move from bench to bench, desire to desire, request to request, undertake for your people. We so appreciate Lord Brother Andrew for standing in his position and giving us this opportunity to minister to his congregation. Bless the believer, anoint the speaker and the hearer, that together we might be raised in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Undertake for us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Sorry to keep you standing. It's been a lengthy reading. For a title, I want to preach about 5 years from now. Amen. It's in 5 years from now. Amen. Preacher, why do you have such a sermon? Couldn't it be 3 years? Couldn't it be 7 years? Couldn't it be any other years? Praise the Lord. You'll understand that 5 years is quite an age. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. There is enough time for something to change in somebody's life. If you make a decision right now, the repercussions of the decision you're making, you'll only be able to give a solid measure of that decision 5 years from now. Amen. Every decision that you make has a time period it serves. Even this country and this world knows it. That's why most degrees are 3 years. It takes 3 years to complete a bachelor's degree, praise the Lord. And then they give you another 2 years, to which the first year of the finishing of the three-year period is normally what would be called an internship. Amen. In 5 years, you should be able to be in a chosen profession that you decided to undertake 5 years prior to qualifying, praise the Lord. So I've taken this text 5 years from now. Meaning to say, right now, as you are sitting there, you are in the valley of decision. You can make a decision right now that will influence the outcome of your life 5 years from now. Amen. You can make a decision right now that will show you, praise the Lord, 5 years down the line whether you made the right decision or the wrong decision. Amen. I believe it was Joshua in the Old Testament that says, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Is there someone here tonight that says, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord? Praise the Lord. Amen. I would like to take this opportunity to greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really appreciate ministering in this congregation. Praise the Lord. Because I have loved ones in here. Praise the Lord. We grew up together with Brother George, Brother Scotty. Praise the Lord. And now I also have our precious brother. Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Maxwell. We have come acquainted because of his association with this congregation. Amen. I can safely say at his 65th birthday, I was also in Dublin. Praise the Lord. And I pray that the Lord would add many years to my life to be still serving the Lord as he's been serving in his life. All these years, to be able to also say, because of the decision I made to serve the Lord, even all my children have come under that decision. It's something to praise God for. Glory be to God. A decision that you make is got a repercussion or a reward. I believe it was your pastor who preached a series about Ruth. Ruth deciding, Ruth serving, Ruth rewarded. And he took a decision. When Ruth made that decision, it wasn't only her that was making a decision. There was also Orpah who also made a decision. And both decisions landed them into a destination. Amen. Ruth landed at Boaz's feet. Orpah, we don't know what became of her, but there is something written in the Talmud that says she also went and got married. And who she got married to eventually became the patriarch, or rather the great-great-great-grandfather of Goliath. So when we give David meeting up with Goliath, it was a climax of decisions. Amen. Glory be to God. The right decision went to Ruth. And at that day of the showdown, it showed we had the right decision. Praise the Lord. And I believe tonight somebody is going to make the right decision. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I've read from 2 Samuel chapter 11, which is a chapter that if I was God, I would exclude out of the Bible. Because it brings shame. Because most people want to be associated with good things. But the God of heaven has said, no scripture is of private interpretation. God left that chapter in there for a purpose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If I was given the opportunity to write the Bible, I would have put all the good chapters and left the chapter of a man after God's own heart falling flat on his face like that. Yeah. But God left it so that we can glean knowledge from it. Yeah. We can know that there are certain decisions that have repercussions that you don't want to think about. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen to that. God being God, he left that chapter. Never even hid the detail of it. Told us how it all began. It was at a time when the kings went to battle, but David decided to remain behind. The reason that he decided to remain behind is not given. I'd like to surmise that David had become very complacent. Thought, you know what, I'm a man after God's own heart. I can do what I want anytime. God is so gracious, he'll forgive me. Brothers and sisters, when others go to church, don't miss church. Amen. You might end up seeing someone you are not supposed to see. Amen. The devil might actually bring someone in your neighborhood, just as he did to David. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it came to pass at that time that David, of all the things, he should have been in the closet praying for his warriors. Yeah. He decided to go on the rooftop to have a bird's eye view of his kingdom. Lo and behold, at that particular time, there happened to be somebody who also chose not to cover herself. Yes. And the king beheld and said, who is this woman? And some messengers were foolish enough to say, is not this Uriah's wife? And just the fact of hearing that it's somebody's wife should have been a deterrent. Amen. But the king said, let me have fellowship with her. I just want to find out if she's fine. Maybe she's also as lonely as I am, seeing that I like to have the company of brothers with me. So you know the whole story. Had David thought about his decision, he wouldn't have gone through with what he did. Amen. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, when you come to a point of deciding against good and right, take the right way. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. David took the wrong way. And when David took the wrong way, instead of repenting, he further took another wrong way, which was to exterminate the man. Instead of repenting, he chose to make sure that Uriah dies. So he writes a letter to Joab. Says, Joab, here is an instruction. Put Uriah where there is the hottest of battles. And when you are there, when you give him that assignment, retreat so that the man dies. And never had a man like David, a man
of his caliber ever come up with such a flimsy decision, reckless decision to say retreat from another soldier? Yeah. It's not principle. Yes. When we are soldiers, if you fall in the battle, I would rather also fall trying to carry you out of the war zone rather than retreat when you need a fellow soldier. Amen. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, let's not give up on fellow soldiers when they fall in the battle. Yes. Amen. David, when he did that, Uriah got killed. This was after he tried all his tricks to cover his sin. And God had made sure that the sin will be exposed. And if God exposed that sin then, gives me to understand he still exposes sin today. You cannot do things in temporal by and get away with them. Amen. Somehow, God will expose you too. That's why the scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what is wisdom? Behold, O man, departing from evil, that is wisdom. Amen. Job defined wisdom in Job 28:28. That's what he said. He said, where is wisdom found? The whole chapter is talking about, where do we find wisdom? And then at the bottom of the chapter, he says, you know what? To depart from evil, that is wisdom. Amen. To say, I ought not to be going into that place. I ought to be going that direction. That is wisdom. Amen. A lot of people confuse subtlety and wisdom. Cleverness and wisdom. You can be a clever fool. But a wise person fears all the time. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. So in 5 years from now, you will be what you will be by a decision you are making right now. Amen. Even right now is decision time. Amen. Amen. So as the story goes, David makes this decision. He goes through with sin, tries to cover it, and has the husband of the wife that he committed adultery with killed. And Joab replies. And in the reply, it's an encrypted message. He says, Abimelech, the scripture says, let's just read it there. Amen. Joab says, verse number 20. And if so, the king's wrath arise and say unto thee, wherefore approached ye so nigh unto the city when you did fight? Know ye that you should shoot from the wall? Says, now, the parable is, who smote Abimelech? Yeah. Which is to say, my king. Yeah. There is an encrypted message in the names that David is receiving from the messenger from Joab. Amen. And the encrypted message, let's go, just go back, says, is, my father is the king. Says, you are the king. You are the one that gives us instructions. We just follow. So just by saying Abimelech, says, well, you are the king. We follow your instructions. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Says, smote Jerubbesheth. And Jerubbesheth says, shame, we will contend. You are the king. You've sent us to do a shameful thing. Yes. To retreat from a man in time of war. Yeah. It's up to you. His blood is not in my hands. It's in your hands. Yeah. This is Joab starting to blackmail David right by the encrypted message he sends right there. It says here, and did not a woman cast a piece of stone? And he died at Tebesh. Tebesh, it's conspicuous. That's what it means. So if you take those three words, you would have my king. Yeah. You are the one that's given us this instruction, which is conspicuous. And then at the end of it, it says, tell thy servant that Uriah the Hittite is died. Yeah. Uriah, Jehovah is my light. You have killed God's will. Praise the Lord. Here is where my inspiration came from. Listen to what the prophet says. There is a choosing. And we choose for ourselves. Amen. We choose something that's for our own good. But Moses chose the afflictions and the disgrace that he might walk with the people of God. Think of it. Now, listen to it. Chose the affliction of the people of God and counted it a greater treasure. For he enjoyed seeing him who was invisible. Now Lot, one time had to make a choice. And it may be that this morning, that there will be men and women sitting here that will make your final choice. You are today what you are because several years ago, you chose to be what you are now. And what you choose now will determine what you will be 5 years from today. So we are all living under the choices that we made. Amen. If things aren't working for you right now, it could be the choice that you made 5 years ago. But yet today you can choose to abort that decision and make the right decision. Amen. And he says here, my, I love the prophet. Amen. Says, amen. You are today what you are because several years ago you chose to be what you are now. Amen. And what you will choose now will determine what you will be 5 years from today. Amen. 5 years from today, you may be a missionary if you choose to be a Christian. Today. 5 years from today, you might be a deacon if you choose the right decision now. And being a deacon is not a small thing. The scripture says you purchased yourself a good degree. Amen? And listen to what the quotation says. 5 years from today, you may be a renowned Christian just by deciding today. 5 years from today, you might be a renowned Christian. Or 5 years from today, you may be in hell. Says, well, you know, I didn't come all the way to Dublin, you know, and just go to church, you know. There is too much things here in England, you know. I couldn't come to the first world and then just end up being a church person. Who knows? 5 years from now, you might end up in hell if you choose not to pay heed to the decision you're supposed to make now. You might be in hell via an accident going to a party or via an accident coming from a party by a decision. And if God has allowed you to hear me preach today, it means He wants you to make a decision. Says you may be in hell because you made the wrong decision. Yes. There are some people who choose church because of excitement. Others choose church because of godliness. So I went to that. I want to go to that church in Dublin, but you know, it's not as groovy as what we see on God channels. They are not saying, "Ooh, do you want a party?" It's like they sing these songs that make you cry. Amen. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Sing songs like, on Calvary's hill of sorrow. That's a decision we made. Yes. Amen. And are you glad you made that kind of a decision? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Says here, you may be in hell because you made the wrong decision. 5 years from now, you may be cleaning sputum in a barroom. 5 years from now, you choose not to become a Christian. And you don't become a Christian, you lose your principles. You're looking for a job. The only job that's there is bartending. As you become a bartender, you are going to clean sputum. It sounds strange, but it is a reality. Amen. And yet 5 years from now, you could be the one that's deciding how to structure a building after having taken a decision to go to school. You look at life, you look at others that are doing so well. You look at them with jealous and begrudging them and thinking, oh yeah, it's all about materialism. Everyone has a right to decide which way they want to live. You want to live that type of a life where Your parents are telling you, do your homework. He says, I don't want to do my homework. You will end up on the lower end of the jobs. And at the bottom end of the jobs, that's where you have those that clean sputum. At the bar room. Or 5 years from now, from today, you may be a prostitute on the streets. It sounds far-fetched. But how many remember that sister that Brother Branham failed to tell, come to the altar to be saved? The deacon's daughter says, how dare you embarrass me in the whole church, calling me to make a decision for Christ. Brother Branham saw her 3 years later. She was now in the red light district, offering the prophet a cigarette, saying to the prophet, here you are, have a smoke. And the prophet says, have you no shame? Says, well, I couldn't care less, even if I saw my mother flying in hell. Says, by the way, you remember that day you called me? It was the Lord calling me. But now I've crossed the line of mercy. Imagine knowing that your father's prayer can't prevail anymore. You made a decision. When you were supposed to take the right decision, you took the wrong one. Now you are saying, oh, I couldn't care less. And Brother Abraham says, you see, that girl was on heaven's door that particular day, and she chose not to enter in. I wonder tonight, somebody is being spoken to by the Lord. Make the right decision. Amen. Or you may be a man or a woman that's a credit to their society. By just making the right decision. 5 years from now, someone might actually say, that woman saved my life. That man saved my life. By a decision you make right now. And children, young people, even other adults, they make impulsive decisions like David. But 5 years from that day, David made that decision. The consequences he unleashed in his life. Oh my, that decision of chapter 11 wound up in chapter 13 with one of his sons lusting after his own daughter. And another of his sons killing his other son for raping his daughter because of the decision of not going to war with the man. Amen. Some of the things that you think you get away with, give yourself 5 years. Amen. If you get HIV today, you might not know, you might be going around spreading it, not knowing that. But 5 years, it becomes what is called full-blown. I wonder tonight how many people right now in Dublin this festive season are busy getting themselves into decisions where they are getting diseases that will manifest 5 years from now. Amen. Says, well, I got away with it. You know what? There is nothing as miserable and sad as someone who is setting the ministry of the message who leaves church without making the right decision. Making decisions influenced by how they feel. It's not about how do you feel. It's about what's God's choice and what's the right way of life. There is a way that seemeth right, but the ends thereof. Somebody say amen to that. How many say I would like to be a credit to the society? Praise the Lord in the highest. If you made a decision 5 years ago that you are paying for now, tonight you can make another decision that deletes that previous decision. You can be a credit to any society because of your choice for Christ. 5 years from today, you may be in the glory, in glory. Gone in the rapture. Yes. The other contrast, you could be in hell. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because you made a choice today. Amen. But you've got to choose. And don't look at what you choose. Choose what you see. Amen. By faith. Amen. That's the only thing that will count. Even some brothers, when they are marrying, some sisters, when they are marrying, they choose by sight, not by faith. Because faith is a revelation. Right now, I'm enjoying my marriage with my wife because I made decisions 5 years ago, then 5 years prior to that, 5 years prior to that. Now we are in 19 years in marriage. Praise the Lord. And before I married her, I made a decision to serve the Lord. 5 years before I married her, I was a single brother that would walk around looking miserable. And everybody of my age thought that, what has happened to him? He's lost his swagger. You know what I'm saying? How many know what I'm talking about? When I talk about swagger, he's lost his swagger. But I like to go back to see the decision I made when I lost my swagger and compare to the decision they made when they kept their swagger. It looks like I'm still swaggerlicious, but they are not anymore because some of them are dead. Anyone who's had friends that died, some of them died coming from parties. Some of them died coming from brothels. But I'm still surviving by the grace of God. And I believe I'm a credit to my society. Is there someone here tonight that says, Lord, let me survive to be a credit to my society?
Hallelujah.
Says, you've got to choose. And don't look at what you see. Choose what you see by faith. That's the only thing that will count, is what you choose by faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't it amazing that people have choices that they make every day? If I take you, go with me, brother, to Matthew chapter 19, verse number 16. Let's see a young man that chose a choosing.
Yeah.
Let's see what happened to the choice that he chose. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which, with an arrogance. And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt commit adultery. Jesus felt like, let me repeat the commandments for this young man, since he said which. It looks like this young man has quite a strong repertoire of scriptures concerning commandments. He is well versed to the extent that he's asking me which. Are we talking about Levitical ones, or we are talking about the ones we find straight from Exodus? Which? Are we talking about the eating ones, or we are talking about the things that we are forbidden? Which? And Christ said, okay, let me spell it for you. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Means I've been in the message. My parents were in the message. I was born in the message. We are message people. My father is a pastor. He's the one that's preaching right now.
Amen.
So tell me about church. We grew up in church. That's what we did. When we went on holiday, it was church. When we were at home, it was church. Wherever we were, if there was a message church, it was church. For as a matter of fact, never even at Christmases we were having communion. It was church, church, church. Which one did I not keep? Which commandment can you tell me about?
Hallelujah.
Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, the young man only knew the commandments. He didn't know that there is a scripture in Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 17. Proverbs chapter 19, Verse number 17. Had he known the message that he had believed, he would have known that that commandment he was asked was not serious. Yeah. It was actually the Lord inviting him to more wealth. Yeah, that's right. Because the scripture said, go and sell all and give to the poor. If he knew his scriptures, he would have done it without any hesitation. Because the scripture had said in Proverbs, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he giveth, will he repay him again. God was just giving the young man an opportunity for further investments in the kingdom of God. But he, being ignorant of the scriptures, only kept the ones that people observed. He realized. He walked away from there sorrowful. Sorrowful. So sad. Praise the Lord. Let's go down with the chapter. But yet in that same chapter, God announces what he does when people give things away. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19 again. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 19 again. To continue, we just brought that just so you see where the young man should have said, scripturally thinking, when the Lord said, 23. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, rather take it back to 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. If he knew the scriptures that the Lord is saying, sell and give to the poor, God wanted him to make an investment in the kingdom of God. And God was going to return that which he had invested, because scripture cannot be broken. The scripture had already said, he that lendeth to the Lord, he that giveth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord. When the Lord returns, that's when, brother, things just happen. You suddenly get a mysterious house bought for you and you wonder, how on earth could this happen? I've told most of the time, how many know the testimony of Brother Tutani, who had been working all his life for Voice of God on a voluntary salary when it was unaffordable. He just worked. We've known him to work for Voice of God since the 80s. But one day he took a trip to Ukraine. And the brother was moved by the Holy Ghost. Put in 120,000 in some chocolate boxes. And said, go and give to your wife as a present from me. The brother didn't know that God had allowed him to launder some money without him knowing. He got to Zimbabwe, gave his wife the chocolate box from the brother. Never even opened it that very day. Excuse me. Opened it the following day.
Amen.
See the amount of cash and a letter in there to say, look for a house for the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
And if you can't find what you want, that if it's more expensive, just ring me, we'll send some more.
Amen.
The man had cast his life as bread upon the waters.
Amen.
God was now returning.
Yes.
I can't wait for the day, Brother George, you'll be rewarded for the saints that have been kept in that little flat. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Now the young man didn't realize he was missing an opportunity of, if I was him, wow. Proverbs 19:17 is about to take fruition right now. They've given everything away. And whenever you find the gospel demanding of you something that you think you cannot do, don't walk away. It's not hard. It's just a screening process. Just a screening process. Do you honestly think that God really, really cares about certain things that people go about, the things that have been written in the Bible? Some of them have been written to show our obedience. That's all it is. Nothing much. But just so that others that are not his will just, no. I would have wanted to go to that church, but when they hit the issue of the trousers, I just felt like, you know what? That church is not for me. Just by a garment, it's enough to throw someone off. just to hear the word make up. Brother, God is so big, he can't ever grudge with you. You are too small. It's like an elephant having a grudge with an ant. And the elephant saying, I'm looking for that ant. I want to kill it. It wears makeup. And it, no, no, God just wants to test your obedience. It's just about obedience. So he simply put a scripture says, it's an abomination for a woman to wear that which pertaineth to a man. And just left it like that. If you read that scripture, we don't explain to you that don't dress sexy. We simply just make you read the scripture. It says, oh, so trousers are forbidden. And then you come to the Lord, you go and buy all the wrong skirts. Then we have to further tell you that they don't have to be short. Yes. And then you go and buy all the long dresses. Just when you buy all of them and you think, now I think I'm okay. We come again. And we say, you don't have to, they don't have to be like they are poured into you. They are too tight. It's just a genuine forbiddance as you are going.
Amen.
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 Because the person, the eye man asked, what lack I yet? And we are busy telling you what you lack yet.
Amen.
That's what we are doing tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Sisters, you need to wear flary skirts, not tight, where they put your shape into perspective. I know Brother Andrew is a bit, you know, but you know, I know I'm you know, I believe that, you know, medicine that's bitter in the mouth heals. Praise the Lord.
And don't
let people walk around you with eggshells. If your skirt is tight, just ask. Sometimes sisters put on weight without realizing. Oh yes, I found myself many a time saying, no, not that one. Go back, go. We are not going to. It's okay, sir. You've put on weight, mate. Wait.
Yes.
Go back. And you find everything. We have to pray about it to help the sister. Her skirts are too tight. Ah, well, just tell the sister. You lack one thing. Skirts tight. I'll never go back to the church. Is my skirt okay? Is my skirt okay? But they said it's too tight. It will be tight.
That's right.
Better we tell you, we are the men that see that, oh, sister, why have you thought of us like this? And that day you would have been in the spirit really wanting to come and bless the Lord with your item really coming. Precious Redeemer. Oh, how I love. Sister, the skirt is tight. Let the precious Redeemer redeem you of your skirt. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
I was asked to deal with the youth. Let me just be who I am. Is that right, Brother Andrew?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There's no point in me being hypocritical and trying to be scholarly like Brother Andrew. Let me just preach how I'm called. Amen.
Amen.
So sisters, if you are ashamed to tell a sister how tight a skirt is, remember Brother Crosby's sermon? That's what I'm about to tell you. Praise the Lord. Do it in love. Be genuine. It will produce the results. So it's the young man had an opportunity for greatness. Because he had already kept the commandments. The only thing that was in his position, because the gospel will not come to ask you to forsake that which you can easily forsake. Otherwise, it would all be, Christianity would be so easy if all that the Lord required you were ready to give. It always comes to challenge your desire.
Amen.
To make a choice for him or for the thing that you want. So the young man was so much engrossed into his money. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and saying, who then can be saved? They were having after church fellowship. Then Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Don't never fear for God's children. They will get saved. Because God already put in them something that responds to the word.
Amen.
Then answered Peter. Imagine good old Peter. You just come out with something so ignorant as this. The Lord is just saying it's hard for a rich man to go to heaven. Then Peter said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit in 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's already promised heaven. Then the promise is still going on. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or a father, or a mother, or a wife, or a children, or a lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, the rich young ruler had left. He missed the service that was supposed to tell him his interest rate from having forsaken all that he had. His interest rate is 100-fold. 100-fold is not 10%, 20%. A double fold is 100%. That's 10,000% interest.
Amen.
But he left when he was told to forsake all. He didn't realize that Peter was going to be told the interest rate for forsaking all. In the same chapter, when the gospel demands of you certain things that you think you can't deal with, hang in there. God wants you to serve under your decision, then reward you under your decision. And 5 years from that day,
amen,
you'll be a credit,
amen,
to your society.
Amen.
Are you with me, church?
Amen.
But it looked like when Christ said, sell all thou hast, one thing thou lackest, sell all thou hast and give to the poor. It looked like, I would have wanted to follow Jesus, you know. But the kind of, I went to church. That was the day the pastor was announcing some hard things. That was just a deterrent. Because God has these things that he says to his people. That if you are not a child of God, you're afraid. He says, you know what? You start to write emails and text to each other. Did you hear what the pastor said? Did you hear that? The rich young ruler went away sorrowful. He came very enthusiastic. He made a decision. That very moment. And those that are message students will tell you that decision landed up in hell.
Amen.
He ended up with his own wealth, having built barns, and said, now let us eat and drink. Ash. We've done so well with ourselves. And he says, thou fool, don't you know that tomorrow your soul will be required in hell?
Amen.
And while he was in hell, he never lost his attitude of wanting to boast people around. He started to boast angels. He's right. Send a man from here to tell them that the gospel is true. Says, they will have to hear Brother Crosby and Brother Andrew down there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
They will have to hear those that have already sent. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Children, brothers, sisters, whoever you are, be sober.
Amen.
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 Amen. Imagine the man left the part where he should have been told the interest rate. And God had to inspire Peter to ask. How could you ask after the Lord had explicitly told people that, you know, it's a very, very hard to get a rich man to get in?
Yeah.
Then Peter says, we who have left all. Wasn't that what he just told to that young man?
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
But now he's actually telling the reward. Had the young man waited for the next service.
Yeah. Amen.
And the next service. Yeah. And the next service.
That's right.
It gets better and better,
amen,
and better and better.
Yeah.
Because God loves you. He wants you to live and make the right kind of a decision.
Amen.
Are you with me, church?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When Lot made his decision,
yeah,
he never knew that 5 years from that day, you will end up,
yes,
with Sodom bent and him and his daughters trying to concoct a plan. But that was the result of a decision. So he became what he became by a decision that he made when his servants chored and strived with Abraham's servants.
Mm. Yeah.
They should have reconciled and not considered going away.
Amen.
But 5 years from that day,
amen,
he ended up producing for us the Moabites and the Ammonites by a decision that he made. Yeah. Friends, your decision right now can be so powerful, it can turn generations.
Amen.
A thing that affected your father's generation, his father after him, you can turn it around by taking the right decision. Praise the Lord. Look at David. Had he known that his decision with Bathsheba is going to result in Amnon going to Tamar and Absalom getting angry and killing Amnon later, I'm sure as a responsible father, he said, no, we don't do things like that.
Amen.
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 But what did he do instead? He pursued his decision. Maybe somebody has already made the wrong decision anyway. You can abort it.
Amen.
You can change it.
Thank you, Lord.
Tonight, you can start another 5-year program of the right decision while you are canceling a wrong program of a wrong decision. Are you with me, church? It says, but many that shall be first, many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. It's all about the decisions that are made on a daily basis. And human beings want to worship God in the flesh. You've got to get into his spirit.
Amen.
Because to understand the things of God, you have to be in his spirit.
Amen.
God will never give you commandments you can't handle.
Amen.
But yet he uses his commandments to scream people out of the kingdom.
Amen.
The very same thing you are stomaching, somebody is making a decision that will wind them in hell 5 years from now. Judas didn't know that the decision of dipping his hand into the treasury jar, had just started in him an appetite for money. You know, when you get addicted to something, you always think that you can cope.
Amen.
You always think that you are in control. So, you know, I drink, but I'm not like the real drunkards. I control my drinking. Really? Really? The devil will not start you a drunkard and an alcoholic.
Amen.
It starts with the decision of taking one lager.
Amen.
And then he starts to tell you, take another one. Ah, come on, man. You are a man. You don't drink two. Real men drink five. And then you meet up with your friend who's also made a decision to drink. Says, my friend, you are drinking five. Me, I can take the whole crate all night. Mova. And you go on like that. But it took a wrong decision.
Yes, right.
By the time you get to become an alcoholic, you can even wake up with jitters. You actually need something to start you up. You're now like a car that needs to be cranked before you wake up. Alcohol is not nice. I remember when we were little boys, we understood that how on earth do people drink Castle Lager, such bitter stuff.
Yeah.
You'd have taken this, your dad would have gone to the toilet while he left his glasses. That's how we learned that it's bitter. But when you make a decision to start drinking it, you have to override your sensations of the tongue that tell you it's bitter.
That's right.
And then you end up now qualifying into a scripture that says, who unto them that call things that are bittersweet? That stay all night drinking. But it started with a decision. And the decision told you, this ain't a nice drink. So you have to actually cross over to say, those that have tried smoking will tell you smoking is not a pleasurable thing. It's called smoke. But if you've made a decision because you saw someone appearing to be cool, you talk yourself into overriding everything that went against your nature.
Amen.
Don't you think if God wanted to have you to smoke, you'd have at least put a chimney right here? He would have put a chimney. Praise the Lord. Because God is the ultimate architect and designer. He knows what is called ergonomics, where you make things fit for purpose. You were not meant to smoke. But you have to actually fight with everything within. You have to decide. Then 5 years from that time, you now have fingers that are tarred with nicotine. Your breath is as foul as anything. You are just started on a path to attract cancer for yourself. 5 years from that day, you start to have certain things. You can't run a few meters. When we told you stay in church, it appeared boring. Now I like the scripture that says in Malachi chapter 3, it says, then shall we go to one that fears God and one that feareth him not, and compare. It's comparing what decisions they made and what outcome they got. It's a comparison of decision based on results. I've met men my age that I went to school with. You see, the man is dilapidated, completely run down by the devil. He's lost some of his teeth. God knows where he lost them, whether in a brawl, trying to be macho. You become a zero. Some of them have stab wounds just by being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Others wind up in jail just by sitting in the wrong car. When the police round you up, you're like an accomplice. Because no, I just got a lift from Lamarick. Ah, mate. Were you in the car? See, the thing about the courts, they don't ask things so that you can explain yourself. They ask closed questions. Are you so and so? Were you drinking? No, but I just taken a... We didn't ask how many pints you took. We asked, were you drinking? Were you in possession of cocaine? No, they just showed, were you in the car?
Yeah.
Now when we tell you that bad company corrupts good manners, church is boring, especially when they bring that preacher from England. I wonder where Brother Andrew brings him. The one who doesn't like the social. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Our God is so real.
Amen.
He wants us to become the best we can.
Amen.
Through his dignity and leadership. Because the scripture says he orders our footsteps.
Yes.
The Lord will order your footsteps to church. He said, no, but I don't want to go there. You see what you are deciding. And 5 years from the day you decide, you don't need somebody to come and tell you and say, brother, you made the wrong decision. You will know it. You will know it for yourself that I shouldn't have. And guess what? The day that the Lord visits you, you know it as well.
Amen.
The day the Lord knocks on your heart to make a decision to serve Christ, you will know it. Because God will just anoint a preacher that will preach as if he was with you. When you were thinking, why on earth do they now allow us? Can't they just give us off? I mean, it's festive season. Church again on Wednesday. We are supposed to come on Friday again. And Saturday and Sunday we have this brother too. Lord have mercy upon us. But others will say, you know what? I have made this decision.
Yes, sir.
It's the hard way.
Amen.
It's the narrow way.
Amen.
But it's your decision.
Yes.
And it has a reward.
Amen.
Brother, I like people that gun for the reward.
Amen.
They are able to forget the pain of the now, looking forward to the reward.
Amen.
My. So the rich young ruler found himself in hell by a decision he made 5 years prior to that. Lot found himself with his daughters. Instead of saying, daddy, daddy, they were saying, honey, honey. Things just went beyond his control because of the wrong decision.
Amen.
Now the prophet simply says, you are what you are now by a decision you made 5 years ago. And you will be what you will be from today. You can start another 5-year program.
Amen.
But this time, it will be one that will make you look back and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because it would have been the best decision you made. Amen. How many is here ready to make another decision that overrides the previous decision? You are what you are by a decision you made. That is why the Bible always makes sure that people are in the choosing business. That's why God gives us a free moral agent, so that you actually choose to say, you know what? For what it's worth, I'm going to become a Christian. If no one joins me, still I will follow. Those are the songs we used to sing back in the day. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Now others are turned back by a brother in church in the bench like them. Brother, there's no Holy Spirit here. Huh? How are you measuring it? Because the Holy Spirit is measured by the word. It's not measured by how people scream. Because if it's measured by how people scream, I come from a country where we have pastors that play Jack Nish, and those people scream all night. So if the Holy Ghost is measured by that, they have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not measured by how big a church is, because if the Holy Ghost is measured by masses, there is no church bigger than the Catholic.
Amen.
They have the Holy Ghost, do they? I don't believe so.
No.
Where the eagles gather,
Amen.
That's where the carcass will be.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Seek for the beaten path of the gospel. Let me go back to my quote, my brother. It says, 5 years from now, you'll be a credit to your society. You'll be gone in the rapture. It says, Lot, as he had to make a choice, Abraham gave Lot his choice. God gives you your choice. Whenever you're given first choice, and some people say, me. I'd rather take the second choice. Because normally, people that rush for choices, they think they can choose the best choice for themselves. So when Lot looked at the plains of Mamre, and he looked at the lush green lawn of Sodom, and its sprinklers going, chick, 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 he saw himself, in a mansion in Sodom. And he saw all the shops of Grafton Street in Sodom. And he saw the dusty plains of Mamre. And Abraham saying, have thine own way, Lord. Says, God gives you your choice.
Hallelujah.
Choose you this day.
Yes, sir.
Whom you shall serve.
Yes.
In the Garden of Eden, there was a tree of knowledge and a tree of life. Man was given the privilege to choose either one he desired. And that privilege is here tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And so it is today. You are given your privilege as a free moral agent to choose whatever you want to choose. Now here is the prophet's advice on choosing. How many would like to take the prophet's advice on choosing?
Amen.
My advice to you is, don't look at the modern things around you and the popularity and the glamour that you could be. But choose rather by faith him that give the promise that someday you will come and you will righten all wrongs. Some sisters' marriage becomes too long, far away. There's no prospect of a brother coming to marry them. So they will end up choosing the slick, tall, handsome, dark, tall, handsome guy they meet at work. And they choose rather the popularity they might become, the white wedding with the disco. Our weddings aren't as flamboyant. Everything we do has character. Because we are making the right choice. Says, I wanted to become a Christian in the message, but there were no brothers. We also thought the same. When we also came, we thought there were no sisters. But God has one wife for you somewhere and one husband for you somewhere.
Amen.
Some people come, they say, are there any prospects? You are choosing by sight. You are heading for the cataracts.
Yeah.
Listen to, you choose for the glamour that you could be. You know, a backslidden man in the message can go and become a very popular Pentecostal preacher.
Amen.
Listen to this. The popularity, the glamour that you could be, but choose rather by faith him that gives the promise that someday you'll come and he will righten all wrongs.
Hallelujah.
And will give you eternal life.
Yes.
And raise you up. No matter if you take the despised way with the Lord's view.
Amen.
Make that choice.
Amen.
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 That reminds me of that brother who stood on top of a building. We had a friend who became a deacon. The friend remained in their village church. Ended up marrying a sister. Ended up having a bunch of kids, probably 7 children. And together. Just this one, brother, don't worry. They grew up together. The other one went and became an investor and a banker. Very popular. Stood on top of a penthouse in Chicago. And he says, you see that bank? I own some shares in there. I'm a major shareholder. You see that railroad? I also have some shares in there. You see that there? He had married himself. You know those little trophy wives? How many know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Them trophy wives that dress a certain way, that walk a certain way, that live a certain way, that drink a certain way, that smoke a certain way, that handle themselves a certain way. And he had forgotten his roots.
Yes. Amen.
One day his friend comes to visit with his old truck and his kiddies. He's gone to town. Temba comes to town. And his friend shows him around. They go in an escalator right up to the top floor of the penthouse. Rooftop view. Seeing there's Aviva Stadium. Those are the mountains. That's the sea view. The penthouse had a 360 view glass. Oh, from flamboyant. Said to himself, all this I've done for myself. He says, I would take your place anytime. Taking the place of a raggedy old deacon pastor that's got babies. Because he saw what already the Bible had told, that all is vanity.
Amen.
And vexation of spirit.
Amen.
While he was saying that, Brother Branham makes a comment, says, but what do you have up there?
Yes.
You have a lot of things here, but what do you have up there?
Amen.
Which means the spirit of the rich young ruler did not die.
Amen.
It caught up with that man in Chicago, and right now it's catching up with someone.
That's right.
That's why I'm preaching tonight that if you are ever going to decide, take the way with the Lord's despised few.
Amen.
Listen to this. No matter if you take the despised way of the Lord's view, make that choice.
Amen. Yeah.
If there is troubles in the hand, if there is troubles in the land, if there is troubles in church, if there is troubles in the home, no matter where it is, make your choice by faith. I will serve God. I'll humble my heart in His presence. Troubles in church, troubles in home, troubles everywhere. If you make the wrong decision, 5 years from that day, you will know. Which means a brother and a sister is arguing. And the brother is losing the argument. And the sister has got all her facts to go and tell the pastor how ridiculous the husband is. Or vice versa. All those decisions are being influenced by pride. If each person would decide based on the scriptural requirement of the situation, you'd always make the right decision.
Amen.
So troubles in the home, no matter where it is, make your choice. Amen. By faith, I will serve God.
Amen.
I'll humble my heart in His presence. I'll take the way with God's children.
Amen.
It's never God that sends a man to split a church. It's the devil.
Yes.
Amen.
That's why the prophet is saying, when you come to where there is problems in church, make the right decision.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It says, by faith, I'll serve God. I'll humble my heart in His presence. I'll take the way with God's children. I see them despised, rejected, drove out, made fun of. Some people, they despise or change their minds or their stance. They are embarrassed by Christianity. I'm reminded of that young girl that came from college. She was sitting with her friend in the train. And while she was sitting there, there was this hideous looking woman coming. And she was hideous because she didn't get plastic surgery from her burns. And this young lady sitting next to this one says, oh, look at that hideous looking woman who happened to be the mother of this one right by the side. Instead of saying, don't be rude, that's a human being, that's a soul, that's somebody that Christ died for, and moreover, she's my mother. Peer pressure. Did you embarrass me when you come to pick me up with your car? So-and-so's father has got a Maserati. And Daddy, you always come with your spoken words. And everybody sees that we believe in this church that has these little eaglet books. Embarrassed. Embarrassed. This young woman was embarrassed. Thank God there was a train conductor who knew the story of why that woman got herself bent. And somehow God just put the scenario into his eyes to see. He says, you, do you know that your mother was twice as pretty than you? She became this trying to save your life. How dare you despise your parents?
Amen.
Do you realize, some of you message children, your parents had more opportunities in life than can ever be presented for you. But they chose the opportunity to give you an opportunity.
Amen.
They saw how treacherous Africa had become because of its African politics. They decided to go in diaspora so that you can have a better education. Now that you speak English with no accent and your parents speak English with an accent, you are embarrassed. I know a thing or two about that. My father was born of Zambian parents and we were in Zimbabwe, where our grandfather and our grandmother used to speak Shona with an accent. And we were the ridicule in the streets. People knew who we were by the accent. They used to call us Mabrandaya. Because we were aliens in a foreign land. But there was never a day I was embarrassed of my parents. And I didn't know that that upbringing makes me to associate with. I can greet people from Malawi, Zambia, all the. I actually was reaching out to a man I met today. I just heard his accent while he was serving us some food. And I said, "Hey, Bwana, Kumudzi." He says, "Ah, Muribonji." Like, "How are you?" I said, "Very well." The whole day he became our friend. Just by being able to spot the accent. Now that you speak with an Irish accent and your dad hasn't quite left his goful accent from Lundy Park, you are embarrassed. Children, don't do that.
Amen.
Don't be embarrassed of your parents no matter what.
Amen.
God chose them. To pass their DNA into you.
Amen.
Amen. Your pastor asked me to address the youth. Praise the Lord. Come Friday. I have a very nice message if the Lord doesn't change my mind. Called Jacob's Vow. That's on Saturday. Faith message. Praise the Lord. Help those that came to diaspora because it deals with people in diaspora. Praise the Lord. It's one of my signature messages. And it will be a blessing. It's got nothing like this. Amen. But this is balm for someone tonight.
Amen.
Someone has to make a decision tonight.
Amen.
Listen to this. Choose by faith and serve God. Humble your heart. He says, "I'll take the way." With God's children.
Amen.
I see them despised, rejected, drove out, made fun of. But I'll still take my post of duty.
Amen.
How many Christians in here have that level of character? That they don't miss church because they've had. They're just there. Not because of the problems, but because it's required by God for them to be at their post of duty. I'll stay right by them. And when they cry, children of God, I'll cry with them.
Amen.
And when they sorrow, I'll sorrow with them. The way they live, I'll live.
Amen.
How many have that level of character? Prophet goes on and says, like Naomi said to Ruth, said to Naomi, "Your ways be my ways.
Amen.
My ways be your ways.
Amen.
Where you live, I'll live.
Amen.
Where you'll go, I'll go.
Amen.
The God that you serve will be my God."
Amen.
Take that choice. Though it pulls the very skin off your conscience of thinking that you are somebody.
Amen.
Skin yourself down.
Hallelujah.
And take your way with the Lord's despised few.
Amen.
And stay loyal. On the field of service.
Hallelujah.
At the post of duty.
Yes. Amen.
So do you realize that this choice is constantly in our sight?
Amen.
5 years ago, others chose to go with a splinter group.
Hallelujah.
And when they went with their splinter group, the splinter group splintered again. And that other splinter group that splintered, they splintered until someone ends up in the world.
Yeah.
Now they meet a brother. They want to say, "Brother, I really want to come to church." Because they have seen that 5 years ago, they made the wrong decision. Brothers and sisters, there are times that you have to make a decision based on what's happening. That's the time to say, "Lord, help me to be grounded, to not make a decision that I will regret after 5 years."
Amen.
What's amazing is that after 5 years is when you actually start to see the repercussions of your decision. The first year, you might actually persuade yourself that you made the right decision. There might be some few phony spiritual vindications. It might even appear as though the Lord is blessing you. It appeared like that when Lot went to Sodom. They appeared to have made the right decision. They appeared to have been prospering. Because anything that you measure by sight, you are most likely to be deceived by the very same sight. He didn't know that what they are seeing is about to be burnt. Says, you know what? The sins of Sodom will vex righteous Lot as long as we are here. I'd rather deal with the gays than be with them over there in Mamre. Where they wake up too early to pray, everything is about God, 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 God. They should give us a break. Here we are in Sodom. Look at the footsteps of the righteous being ordered. We've been here 6 months. We're already Mayor and Mrs. Mayor. Sometimes it appears like that when you make a wrong decision. You actually leave church through a rebel and a rebellion spirit. And then you get promoted at work. And it appears like you made the right decision, honey. While we were at that church with Brother Andrew, we never got promoted. Look at us now. Not knowing that that promotion is leading you to a 5-year disaster. The devil is very funny. He makes you climb into a tree, gets right at the top through a ladder, and then he removes the ladder and says, "Come down, mate." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Listen to this. Naomi had to make the right decision with Ruth. And now, what's amazing about Ruth's decision? It's coming out of Naomi seeing that she made the wrong decision of leaving their promised land. Where you go, I'll go. The God you serve will be my God. Take that choice. How many say, when it comes to crunch time, decision making, I will take the least likely choice.
Amen.
The popular choice is always the wrong choice. Because God does not operate in popularity. When God made Abraham make his unpopular choice, and made Lot take his popular choice, Lot's popular choice had fire and brimstone ready for it. Abraham's popular unpopular choice had Melchizedek ready to come in fellowship.
Amen.
Are you with me tonight?
Amen.
Some people find it hard to choose. They choose based on where is so-and-so gone. If so-and-so is gone, I'll go with them. Might be a brother when he prays, you'll have goosebumps in your back. You feel the presence of the Lord when he prays. God always is someone he points to you as very spiritual. But the day they make an unscriptural decision, you tell them, "I didn't realize that all the goosebump that you put in my back, is this how shallow you are? You don't consider scriptures when you make a decision. You consider your experience." God doesn't work like that.
Amen.
He doesn't use experiences. He uses his word.
Amen.
Remember the decision that Sidney Jackson would have made when Brother Branham went to South Africa. He had a dream, the prophet smoking. And that would have influenced his decision to not go to the prophet's meetings. But the prophet, somehow he ended up going, "Then Brother Branham descended him and said, oh, yesterday you had a dream about me smoking." That was God coming to counteract a bad decision.
Amen.
And as I'm preaching this, I believe God has sent me for someone's decision to be counteracted tonight.
Amen.
Sidney Jackson ended up making the right decision. And brothers and sisters, the prophet himself, he was faced with decision making. Brothers had arranged meetings right up to Cape Town. But the Holy Spirit had told him to remain in Joburg. And God had told him that if you remain and go hunting with Sidney Jackson, the prophet didn't obey that decision It wasn't long before he saw the consequences of taking the wrong decision. Howbeit, it wasn't entirely his fault. It was the brothers around him that said, we have already paid up holes. People won't associate with you. You want to go and preach to the natives. But look at, we've planned this like this, like this, like this. Then the prophet came to a point where he told them that, brothers, what you have done, I've never walked in God's permissive will. We are now walking in his permissive will. Now the things that we shall see from this moment on, you shall see for yourself that we made the wrong decision. There was such lightning and thunder and such heavy rains. And the prophet says, you see, I told you. And then the prophet just made the remark, says, ha, wonder what it will be like tomorrow. Says, Brother Branham, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? Is there going to be an earthquake? But if brothers had said, you know what? The reason why we brought this man to South Africa is because he's a spiritual man. He's a prophet. So let's not harness him. Let's let him be. They would have, despite working in God's permissive will, God still saved people. But imagine what it would have been if they walked in God's perfect will.
Amen.
At the time the prophet got back to his home, he was still paying for choosing the wrong decision. Almost cost his life. Caught a bug, an amoeba. The doctors were surprised how he made the journey back to America. Naturally said, you are a dead man walking. Until he had to pray like he'd never prayed before. He says, Lord, if you have forgiven me, show me. This is a man who's asking to see a vision when he couldn't see a vision. And then an angel of the Lord came with a sheet of paper, white sheets of paper started being raptured into the air. Each one of them says, because of what? I'm showing you that your way is clear. I have forgiven you. Now, if you veer off and make a wrong decision and the word can't bring you back, I wonder if God will visit you the way he visited the prophet. Are you wired that way? And what makes people make wrong decisions is comfort. What makes young people make wrong decisions is the embarrassment of Christianity. I don't know why you are embarrassed. Listen to what the prophet says. Let me go on. Now notice, as they moved on, we find that Lot saw the opportunities for a fatted cattle. There are some brothers who would leave church. They would leave a job near church for a fatted job away from church. It's nice when you hear about Lot, but aren't you going for a fatted cattle? Says, Pastor, I'll be going to Lamarick. Says, but brother, there's no church there. Have you prayed about your decision? So I've already thought about it and I prayed. And somehow I said I'll always be coming back every service. You didn't make it to church when you lived nearby. Now you are saying you are going to make it when you live far. How ridiculous is that? Sometimes the devil can sidetrack you from church because of a fatted cattle. That's one thing that shows you when someone is about to backslide. First, they get a job far away. They will make it for 2 months, coming every Sunday. And after 2 months, they come every fortnight. Give them a year, you see them on special meetings. But the promotion is going on, the salary is getting hiked up every day. It's a fatted cattle. Many see the opportunity of a fatted pocketbook. Many see the opportunity of a better social standing. I had to go there because, you see, they have private schools. I want my children to go to a private school. He saw the possibility of a few extra dollars. you find a job that will make it hard for you to come to church on Wednesday, make it hard for you to come on Saturday, make it hard even on Sunday, it's staggered. But this is the jobs. I mean, things are getting better. A few dollars, you know. Says he saw the possibility of being the mayor of the city. Being a stranger, he was in diaspora. He was in Dublin, diaspora. And a pretty smart man as he was, maybe I will become the chief man of the city. He saw the possibilities because they were laying before him. But he did not see the fire that was about to destroy the land. He did not reconcile himself that the land was full of sin and God had to destroy it. Started looking, says, no, we have had this issue of the rapture happening. These blood moons and things that are being shown. We've heard about it. Since the prophet is gone, they always say this. Listen to what the prophet said. And today, people try to reconcile themselves by saying, are you a Christian? They say, I'm an American. That has no more to do with it than try to say to a crow that he was a frog. See how the prophet puts it? It has nothing to do. Are you a Christian? That has nothing to do with it than saying that you are a frog. It has nothing to do with it. Being a Christian is to be Christ-like, born of his spirit. Born again by the word. I like that scripture. Born again by the word. She's going to be destroyed because God is just. And if America gets by with her sins, the just and sovereign holy God will be duty bound to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them for burning them because of their sin if he lets us get by with it. Now I want to ask you, saints, they didn't get away with it in Sodom. And the scripture says it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be. Are we going to get away with it? When we make decisions, even for the neighborhood we go to live in, the prophet says, pray.
Amen.
You say, I just went. You live next to a serial killer. Because of making carnal decisions. Are you okay for me reading the spoken word?
Amen.
If he lets you get to heaven and your injustice works, you will have to raise up Ananias and Sapphira and give them another opportunity. Why? Because they made a decision to cheat. And they got the judgment and the repercussions of their cheating ways. So if you cheat and you get away with it, God has raised up Ananias and Sapphira and say, you know what? We were overzealous in the days when the Holy Ghost came. Just after Pentecost, we were too overzealous. So I'd like to give you another opportunity to live in Laodicea. He certainly would, but it's just Ananias saw his money. Peter saw Christ.
Amen.
Oh my. Lot didn't see the destruction of his children in that place. Many times when parents rebel in a message church, they don't see their children wearing an earring. We'll worship at home, we'll listen to tapes. It won't be long before your child is on Facebook and WhatsApp with an earring. Because I don't know whether it's a humanistic or African mentality or whatever it is that makes people, when they come to church, the first time they come, they really feel the presence of the Lord. When they get familiar, suddenly they know better. Things should be done this way. If we are a real spiritual church, we should do things this way. Don't you think God is wiser? He could have called you. The very reason that God didn't make you a pastor is because of those erratic decisions that you are making. So God knew that you would make those erratic decisions as a pastor. So he made you to become just a humble servant of the Lord. I saw a picture a few days ago that really made me bleed. There's a brother who left, started church somewhere, and his daughter just came out with a ridiculous, ridiculous pose on Facebook with a boyfriend. I thought, hey, if only parents could factor in that their children are being protected by an invisible power in the house of God. Amen. And many of you today around these old formal creeds and things, you don't see the juvenile delinquents and the destruction of your children. Isn't that a fact? You don't factor in that the decision you are about to make, what it will do to your children. Just like David forgot to factor in his decision when he took Bathsheba. He forgot to think about his children. He opened a door in his family that brought about shameful sin. Yet he was a man after God's own heart. When he opened that door, only God could shut it. God forgave him, but he never took away the consequence of his decision. He could have died, but God spared him. But he said, but I won't spare your children dying. I won't spare you from the funeral of Amnon. I won't spare you from the rape of your daughter Tamar. I won't spare you from your own son rebelling against you and teaming up with Joab. And Joab had already sent an encrypted message to say, conspicuous, this request you gave me. We killed a righteous man. He says, go in. The man who went to deliver the news didn't know what the news meant. He simply thought that General Joab has asked him to relate the news of the war. Says, you know what? Many people have died. And a woman came. She threw Abimelech and Tebez. And he didn't realize that it's an encrypted message to David to say, mate, I now have one on you, though you be the king, but you've sent me to do something unrighteous, and this is conspicuous. This man's blood is not in my hands, it's on your hands. Yes. Amen. And many of the people today around these old formal creeds and things don't see the juvenile delinquents and the destruction of their children. You don't see your daughter in a prostitute house. David never saw his son taking his wives on top of the roof. All he saw was, who is this Bathsheba? Had he seen that the decision that he made had such serious consequences? Consequences should be a deterrent.
Amen.
That is why we ought to have a school trip, Sunday school trip, to an AIDS ward. And then we take all our children, those that want to sag their trousers, that think they can have girlfriends and have whatever they want to have in the world and still come to church. And then we show them people that are about to die of AIDS. And then we tell them, now, would you like a girlfriend? And somehow everyone that goes for prostitutes and all these things, they don't think that they will get infected. They think somehow they have special diplomatic immunity from Jehovah. There's so much grace upon them. They are predestinated. Yes, you are predestinated, but if you go and sleep around, you will have AIDS. Yes, you will repent on your deathbed, but you will be a dead brother with AIDS that has repented. If you repent, you'll go to heaven. But here, you know, I always dramatize in our church that when someone has got AIDS, that's when they say, tell the pastor to come and pray for me. It's only the teeth that will be, you see, teeth don't lose weight. Everything would have sunk. To tell the pastor to come and pray for me. And then the pastor comes, the man is with a drip. It takes him 1.5 hours to move from here to there trying to go to the toilet. He's holding, you know, that dress gown that they get at hospital. And the other hand is holding a drip as he's trying to go to just before he hits the toilet door, accident.
Misses himself up.
I was almost there. Pray for me, Brother Andrew. He says, brother, would you like to make your life right? Yeah, I used to take prostitutes. Yeah, it's evident. The sickness is telling us. It's obvious. You didn't get there by accident, did you? Your lifestyle has produced the consequences.
Yeah.
And I wondered why AIDS takes 5 years to 10 years to become full-blown. 5 years before that, you could actually pass as if you don't. And there's another quotation where the prophet says, 10 years from now, other diseases take 10 years because you've got to gather as many of your caliber. Brother Andrew, you asked me to deal with the youth, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, Brother Branham is saying, you don't even see your daughter in a prostitute house. Pastor comes and says, you know, saints, you should be careful. Your daughter's dressing and makeup. Says, yeah. Why is he preaching against my daughter? Me, I don't like to be preached to. Are we supposed to preach to benches or to people? That's why I took my time to read every quotation so that at least you know the brother was just echoing what the prophet says about 5 years from now. Even the title itself is say in 5 years from now. Says, you don't see your son, a drunkard, or at a card table somewhere because she's well watered and sin is not touched. He didn't see his wife, the head of all societies, turned to a pillar of salt. Remember Brother Tom's message?
Amen.
When he was looking. He didn't see him escaping only by the edge of his teeth. Yeah. Prophet is talking about when Lot made the decision to go to Sodom. He didn't see the consequences.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, the year is coming to an end. If a job has got more money but it takes you away from church, it ain't worth it.
Amen.
It is not worth it at all.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to this. Brother, I tell you, when Israel got ready at midnight, they had everything that they had in this world packed up and ready to go. God send us a revival like that. We pick up everything and get ready to go. The midnight cry is come on. Go you into the whole world, into the world and meet him. You better have everything packed up. You better have nothing of this world luring you back. Any strings you hold on you, pack up. Let's get ready. We are going. And you know what? I tell you, there was so true to God. Till Pharaoh got so excited at midnight, he said, get out, get out. And they got out. He's talking about the decision that they made to leave Egypt.
Amen.
Take everything you got and go.
Amen.
The prophet says, and I'm so glad that a man can live so close to God.
Amen.
Till the devil don't know what to do with him.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
How many here want to make a decision to stay on God's side, so that you can fit into this quotation where the prophet says you can be so close to God until the devil doesn't know anything to do with you. It says, get out, get going, obeyed God by faith. He saw the promise, Mad Doba or no Mad Doba, he taken the way with the Lord's despised few. Talking about the decision that Moses made. Remember, he had lived the privilege of Pharaoh's palace. Now he has to forsake that to take the way with God's despised few. And now, God had him in an exodus, which was the greatest move of that day. They'd been waiting for that move for 400 years. How many here tonight say, Lord, help me make the right decisions that will make the devil find it hard to do anything to my life? I want to read this once more before I go. It says, I'm so glad that a man can live so close to God, which means it's possible.
Amen.
Till the devil don't know what to do with him.
Amen.
It has a scriptural reference. Have you considered my servant Job?
Amen.
And the devil answered, says, we quit tempting Job a long time ago because you've put a hedge around him.
Amen.
How many here tonight say, Lord, put a hedge around me?
Amen.
How many here say, Lord, help me make the right decision all the time? If I'm presented with a decision that looks prosperous and one that looks dull, lead me and guide me to take the right decision. Before I decide where to go, where to live, let me consider my soul. If you are living in a neighborhood with brothers, and then you leave that neighborhood, and then you start to be overwhelmed with night shifts and work that takes you away from church, and you have no fellowship. Some will say, ah, well, if I can't come, I'll stream. Since our sermons are online. You might stream, but you will not enjoy the presence of the Lord in church.
Amen.
Staying away from church is a decision. And if you stay away too long, you will begin to see the decision come to fruition. And after 5 years, you will see how you have degenerated yourself. And before you know it, you were once a believer. You've dropped back into the category of make-believers. And it won't be long before you log on to another site that tells you that the cloud, this and this, and now you find yourself an unbeliever.
Amen.
It's because you have stayed away.
Amen.
From the fountain of life.
Amen.
I just want to say to all our children, the decision we made to serve Christ, it's going to pay off. Ultimately, we have been promised heaven. But let me say, before it pays off there, it's already paying off now.
Amen.
You are privileged to have mother and father in one house. Don't you see your companions at school speak languages like, today is my day with my dad? Your day with your dad? Yeah. This is when he has visiting rights. So those men, because they are not there in their homes all the time, they will buy their child iPad, iPhone, Galaxy, every little gadget. It's trying to make up for lost time. It's trying to say, yeah, I'm sure if I take. That's why they always have presents. It's trying to put a facade that I love you. That's not love.
Amen.
I don't buy you those gadgets. I buy you the Bible. I take you to church. I sleep in the house you are in to make sure that daddy's spirit is in the home.
Amen.
And that's not a small thing.
Amen. That's right.
Daddy's spirit being in the home does not compare to receiving an iPad for Christmas.
Amen.
Just my spirit. Hearing you snore next door to your room. covering you up when you've thrown the blanket away. That's priceless.
Amen.
And I will do it over again because it's my responsibility.
Amen.
That's what fatherhood is.
Amen.
Now you go to school and you compare your dad with that dad that is visiting rights. And when he comes, he's trying to compensate for 365 days. He's not there. In one day, he crams in a movie, crams in a soccer match, crams in an outing, crams in some presents. And then you think that, Dad, our life is boring. We are Christians. I'm there all the time.
Amen.
I give you a ride to school. You don't get to see your mother with a boyfriend. How shameful is it? And you don't get to see your mother arguing with an ex-one. Because that's the life of people that are divorced. How many here say, Lord, we don't want to squander the privilege of being your children.
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet.
Amen.
Let me say, church, there was a young man who made wrong decisions. His name was Onesimus. He made one wrong decision after another. It landed him up in prison. But while in prison, he heard Paul preached. And he made another decision. And that decision made him to become credit to his own community. Until Paul writes him in an epistle and says, receive Onesimus.
Amen.
He is profitable.
Amen.
Unto me.
Amen.
From being unprofitable, such that the society had to throw him in prison, but while there, he made a decision.
Amen.
He now swaps that unprofitability to profitability.
Amen.
And I believe tonight, whatever you've done with our eyes closed, I want to just ask, brothers and sisters, I don't care. I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you live. I don't even know what you do. Maybe you are the one that has made God to preach this message through us today.
Amen.
Maybe you've made a lot of wrong decisions in your life. You want to come to the word decision. You want to come to say, Lord, you can turn my ridiculous life from the ridiculous to the sublime. God is here tonight to hear you, to undertake for you. If you've made wrong decisions and you want to say, Lord, help me, start by making a decision now to raise your hand and say, Lord, it's me standing in a need of prayer. I need your help. I need your grace. Undertake for me. Let it be that the decision I'm making right now will make me leave this place a renewed person. It starts by a decision. You've got to raise your hand and defy gravity and say, Lord, I stand in need of prayer. I look to the ground from the dust with I've been made from. Lord, I'm only human. I've made many wrong decisions, but I'm praying that today, this is the first right decision I'm making. And I want to be celebrating this decision 5 years from today. Maybe you've been in the message. You are a sister who's constantly snappy and chopping, answering your husband the wrong way, not being a good Christian. Raise your hand and say, Lord, change my decision. Change my wiring. Change my thought process. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And once a mind has been transformed, it cannot go back to what it used to be. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I bring before you, O God, the purchase of your blood. These are your children. Father God Almighty, by the decision they are making right now, even my hand is up too. to. I want to make the right decision this minute that I might live for you. Renew my vows. Lord, I don't want to be clumsy like Lot was clumsy. I don't want to be reckless like the rich young ruler was reckless. Father, I don't want to even make decisions that will bite me and haunt me 5 years from today. Lord, I want to make a decision that I know 5 years from today, I'll be somewhere looking back to say, thank you, Lord, for that Wednesday night I made that decision to serve you more, to read my Bible more, to pray more, to listen to your tapes more. Oh, God, I pray some of your children have come into church for the first time. They have been in situations and places that have brought them into those situations because of decisions they made 5 years ago. Father, I pray this decision they are making right now, may it override the previous decisions, and may this one stick, Lord. May they begin a 5-year program of a good decision that will make them good citizens, that will make them good Christian candidates, that will make them rapture candidates. Father, I plead your blood, and I pray that every youth that has heard me dramatize and preach in such a powerful way to try and show how the decisions we make right now have an impact and a repercussion. Father God Almighty, may you persuade their hearts to make the right decisions. Persuade their minds to make the right decisions. Persuade their actions to go to the right places. Father, I plead your blood, and I pray that the Holy Ghost might convict your people. Father, we want to know you and the power and strength of your resurrection. We are living in the days that are so similar to the days of Lot, to the days of Sodom, to the days of Noah. Father, we take a decision tonight. We are taking sides with Jesus Christ. Have thine own way, O God. Undertake for us. Satan, we expose you. We cast you out in Jesus' name. We rebuke you. We curse you for having persuaded us to make the wrong decisions. Today, we are in our right mind. We are making the right decision. Lord, make the decision stick. We come before your throne boldly, Father. Undertake for us, O God, in our free moral agents. We surrender all to thee. We surrender, my Savior. Be thou exalted, my Father. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wonder if we could sing I Surrender All as we surrender the service to Brother Marais. Church, let's make the right decision. Amen. If you have made decisions that are haunting you, you can change a decision tonight. When the Holy Ghost comes and ministers, it's giving you an unction. It's telling you, you can be turned right about now. Hallelujah. For God's glory. May God bless you. I surrender all. I surrender all. There's never a man who's made a decision to serve the Lord that is regretted.
Amen.
Oh, to Jesus,
Brother Maris,
I surrender. Oh, to thee my feeling in I surrender. Oh. worldly pleasure, oh, forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me. I surrender, I surrender, oh, my Lord,
surrender. The word surrender means a voluntary attitude of giving in.
Amen.
When the Lord visits you and he starts to persuade you and there's just a decision that you make, it's a voluntary something. Amen. You realize the way that you're going isn't the right way. The Lord reveals to you the right way and you make a decision. I'm going to give in. I'm not going to fight this anymore. I'm not going to try to push this way anymore. I'm not going to try to lead myself anymore. I give in. And that's the victory.
Hallelujah.
Once that situation comes inside of your heart, that is the victory. It's a voluntary act of giving in. Let's just bow our heads, saints. Now, there's a song that you hear many times. If you listen to the old timers, they would sing a song that says, "Wasted Years." I don't know if you've ever heard that song. But it says, "He saved me from a life of wasted years." And that's the most precious thing about Christ coming into your life. He saves you from a life of wasted years. And as Brother Crosby so wonderfully has preached there,
hallelujah,
the decisions that you're making now, it's going to determine these 5 years, if there are 5 years, 10 years laying before, are they going to be wasted years? Or are you going to redeem the time? Are these things going to be things where you've squandered and wasted your talents, your abilities? Or is it going to be years that you're making an investment? Because when you make an investment, you're going to receive a reward. You're going to get it back. But it starts now. And friends, the greatest thing that causes us to make these wrong decisions, I remember in my youth, it's peer pressure. As Brother Crosby said, the company that you keep, you're trying to please the people instead of trying to make the right decision. Trying to look at your friends, and because your friends are doing this and your friends are doing that, and because this guy's got a girlfriend, why can't I have a girlfriend? Friends, don't ever make your decisions based on flesh and blood.
Amen.
On the decisions of people around you that you don't know their past, you don't know their present, you don't know their future. You don't know where they're going to be in a couple of years' time because of their decisions. So don't follow their decisions.
Amen.
But live by faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Just simple faith. That you humble yourself, you surrender yourself, and you bring yourself to the Lord and say, "Lord, though it may not be the popular way, I'm not looking for popularity. I want to do that which is right. I want to make the right way." Remember, the prophet was told, "Because thou hast chosen the narrow way, it's my way." And because of this glorious decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits you. We're standing in the valley of decision. We heard that tonight so well. Now, we don't want to play on anyone's emotions. We don't want to pull things out. But just as we close in prayer now, you think about your decision. Think about the basis of the decisions that you're making now. Those things that you're doing that there's a conscience inside of you. Those things, those decisions that you're making that make you feel uneasy when you make them. What is the reason you're making those decisions? Was God in the decision-making process? Did you seek Him? The greatest thing that you can do, my friend, is today seek Him and say, "Lord, I surrender it to You. Guide me aright from this day forth. I give my decisions into Your hands. You will never regret it in time. You will never regret it in eternity. And the decisions you make now, they'll follow you in the world to come. So make the right decision." Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. Father, we think of all the years that we lived where we made the wrong decisions. We made the wrong choices. Father, I remember following young people who would teach me to smoke and following young people that, Father, wanted me to get involved in drugs. Father, I remember following the influence of people that would want me to watch things that were wrong and want me to do things that, Father, would squander my time and, Father, the life that You put inside of me. And Father, Lord, those wasted years. But Father, I thank You that there was a turning point.
Amen.
It was Your grace. It was a day like today when somebody preached the truth of Your word and told me that there was someone who died on the cross.
Amen.
To redeem me from those wasted years. And Father, just Your grace. Just the simplicity of that decision inside of myself, Lord, though I was surrounded by people who didn't understand why I was making that decision. But Father, I've never regretted that decision.
Yes.
It was the greatest thing that I ever did inside of my life, Lord, was to choose to follow You.
Yes.
And Jesus, all of these years that have gone by, I have no regret.
Yes.
Father, it's not wasted years anymore. It's redeemed time.
Amen.
It's time that's been so well spent, Lord, that Even if, Father, we had 10,000 lives, like the prophet says, it still wouldn't be enough to give back to you because of the reward that you give. So, Father, I do pray for each soul that is here this evening, Lord. Just in the quietness of things, that you'd speak unto every heart, every soul. That, Father, we may be honest with ourselves and be honest with you. That you may consider this great question, where shall I be 5 years from today? Oh, Father, these decisions that we make. But we thank you that you've sent the Holy Ghost, the teacher, Father, that he will lead us and guide us, the guide. And, Father, you never guide us to make a decision that we regret. But, Father, just giving it the test of time, it's always the right thing. Father, may you bless Brother Crosby. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for his faithfulness in delivering this message, Lord. Father, let it bring forth fruit, Lord.
Amen.
Father, you said you'd never send your word, Father, and that it would return to you without achieving the purpose to which it was sent. So, Father, we pray that you'd water that word even now.
Amen.
And, Father, bless him. Bless his family, we pray. In the remainder of the time that they're with us, Lord,
Amen.
Even as we depart from this place, please, Lord, give us traveling mercies upon a stormy night, Lord. Watch over us. Bring us safely home. But let your word linger. Father, let the influence of your spirit linger with us, Lord. That when the voice of the preacher is silent, Lord, continue to